Thank Tribal Nation.
Hello, hi, my name is Isaac and you're welcome to the third edition of Tribe Urban Podcast, a product of Tribe Nation, or Tribe Lagos, Tribe Nation actually.
Tribe Nation, yeah.
Tribe Nation. With me here today, we have three amazing people. But you can't begin with that way. You have to focus, please look at the camera. And I have like great people here with me today. I have Gift.
Hi.
How was your journey back to Lagos?
It was good. Lagos is always home, you know?
Yeah, we believe.
But I mean, the people in Lagos makes Lagos home.
Did you bring anything?
Just Kilishi.
I brought Kilishi.
But you did not tell me before we started this. We'll talk to that. I also have Pastor Ferdy.
Hi, people. Good to be in the house. Like, it's good to be here.
Thanks so much. We're happy we're here with you. And also, Kimba.
Yo, what's
Kimba.
Up?
Kimba, is your son name Jimba?
No, it's not, bro. Come on.
Kimba or Jimba?
Or Jimba.
Imagine, I remember one time I was going for post-jab classes. And then the man called my name in class, Kimba, and the fluorescent flickered.
He said what?
The fluorescent, so energy. He responded to Kimba. The energy
like
of the name.
Incantation.
Wow. I chief Kimba.
My classmates laughed. I was so embarrassed.
Amazing. Anyways, I'm excited to be here today. Also, my name is Isaac, and we'll be talking about One Nation. I think like it's kind of like Pastor was saying before, amazing topic to treat because of where we are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how people. It's so funny how people even like followed or voted or supported a particular candidate just because of. You know, tribe, not even because of if the person is competent enough to do the job,
right?
Which is sad, you know, and it, of course, because of laughter conversations like this, for people to understand that we're one nation and you should actually treat people with competence. And I say this every time that it's not when it comes to things that people tend to not choose. When you're entering flights to Abuja, it's owned by an Igbo man, you're not asked, as is this Igbo airline, I will not enter, is this Yoruba chewing gum, I will not chew. Do you understand? But when it comes to issues where, you know, it's where we have to, you know, say some of these things, we then divide ourselves and it's not a good thing. So here we're going to talk about, you know, One Nation and, you know, just talk about if it's possible to actually achieve One Nation, you know, even if it's not, you know, necessary now. But I think these conversations will help. So we'll go with what is exactly happening right now and then where it should be. So that's how we journey. You know, and I'd like to hear your thoughts first, Pastor Ferdy. You know,
well, when it comes to elections, we're just coming away from election season. You find that at any point in time, people weaponize religion, weaponize ethnicity and tribalism, and sometimes it gets heated up. They use it because some people vote across ethnic lines, those are the fault lines. But when you begin to think about it, it's when someone gets into office, you can vote someone who is not competent but is from your tribe. Your life is not any better for it. I think on the fundamental level, most Nigerians are not as educated to ask the right questions during elections. And if you look at across the world, this mechanism or this concept of tribalism and ethnicity, it's on different levels. When you go to South Africa, it's xenophobia, right? When you go to America, it's institutional racism. So it's there. But if you go all the way to the world wars, you find out again that a lot of this world war was because a particular tribe or a particular country thought themselves to be superior to the rest of the world.
Right.
And then they started to exploit that, whether it's the
Holocaust,
the Holocaust and all of those things. One of the things that I found out is if you have a low revelation of the image of God in a man, you would judge them less than who you are.
Absolutely.
So what comes to the very fundamental or the common denominator that runs across racism, xenophobia, even things like ethnic cleansing, like what we found in Rwanda. Or even genocide, it's because somewhere along the line, some people took it upon themselves to think that some other tribe or a group are not worthy of of existence because they don't speak my language, they don't look like my color, right? And anything that dehumanizes one man dehumanizes the rest of us. So it's important for us to start to shape the conversation, because from school, people need to be taught how to appreciate people, right?
The true sense of humanity.
Right, the true sense of humanity. And on one level, it spills, right? Even when we talk about things like feminism, and sometimes people tend to box people into ideology.
Right.
And then in a sense, you're not seeing the image of God in the person, and you're projecting an ideology, or you're even exerting your own ideology over the person. Right. We can have our differences, but it should not lead us to war. Right.
Yeah.
We can have our political differences, but it should not lead us to say another tribe will have to drown or be thrown out. Right.
Yeah.
So I really think one nation is an important conversation, because the nation is on a pathway to healing. And that healing is not going to happen by itself. We all are part of the healing. The church needs to bring the balm to once again remind us of why we are better together. And because there is nothing wrong with tribes. There is only something wrong with tribalism. There's nothing wrong with ethnic groups. There's only something wrong with ethnicity. So the idea is, how can we have tribes without tribalism? And how can we embrace the diversity of our ethnic groups without the peril of ethnicity? And I think that is the ideological tension, right? The church is the pillar of truth. So we must call people away from the attachment to tradition, attachment to tribes, and that has see people through the lens of God. Love becomes that very factor, that very thing that God expects us to. You know, I was talking about something yesterday at the wedding.
Right.
And you know, one of the things I'm learning about love now is that I remember I told you guys in one Sunday that there was no word for agape when Jesus manifested love. They had love for stogie, they had for filio, they had for heroes, but they didn't have for agape. But they realized there was a type of love that was self-sacrificing, self-giving, and almost self-emptying. That this nature of love was incapable of existing in and of itself without the other. That this love rushes towards the other. That the object of this love, the entire purpose of this love, is that the other is amplified. So it's like the love sets itself on fire so that the other will be warm. Right? And that nature of love is very much the nature of God, and is the nature we are called to have. Right? So as we journey to healing, elections are over, people are going back to work. Right? If you don't have light, you realize that whatever you voted, that you are voting to protect a tribe or to protect a religion, is not the point. I wouldn't mind, sorry guys if this will shock you, I wouldn't mind a competent Muslim over an incompetent Christian. Because when it comes to governance, right, capacity, competence and character is more important. Right? Because religion and all these are now cultural concepts. I really had hoped that the life of a Christian would be bear upon the job. But the reality of things is that transformation is always a skin deep. For many people, it's a walk talk, not a life talk.
True.
You know, it's very interesting what you're saying. And, you know, thank you for that. I was coming from a coffee shop, you know, here, and we got into a couple of words just talking. And I said, can I weigh in on this? And they were talking about, you know, religion and how, you know, pastors have, you know, changed the conversation. And I'm like, are you a Christian because of what one pastor did? You know, try also be and know God for yourself, so that when you get to that stage, you too, you will not buy your own private jet and see how it is. Just so stop judging, you know, it's okay. I'm not supporting whatever anybody's doing, but my point is, do this. And then we switched to politics, and he started talking, blah, blah, blah. Of course, they were supporting a particular political party. And then I started to state, you know, my claim. I said this and that. And this girl's like, so why are you supporting? Are you the other guy? Are you even Yoruba? And I said, yes, I am. I told him my son name, and he was shocked. You know, and then if you know, at some point he kept quiet. He didn't have anything to shake me and say, oh, nice conversation. And then what just came to me is that what we're actually missing is personal transformation.
Absolutely.
That people see Christianity as more like an umbrella than actually something that you need to shine
to leave
from. And that's what has happened, because people are not actually transformed. Because when you are transformed, you would first love the other person first, though, before you know what tribe you are.
The boundaries will dissolve.
Yeah, I don't know that I know where you're from. I'm even being going to be honest. I don't know. I'm honest. I don't know where you're from.
Okay.
I don't know what
you're from. You don't know where
I'm from.
Take a guess, though. I was going to say take a guess Pastor Fedi said it.
You know, I honestly, I never even, because I'm not seeing you through the lens of, you know, where you're from. I just want to you know, like you as a friend and, you know, keep doing the word of God with you and all those kind of things. I don't want to know where you're from.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I know where you came by.
No, from. You don't know where I'm from.
The name has given him away. You understand? You know, so I just want to hear your thoughts about, you know, One Nation. And do you think that is actually achievable?
Okay, so first off, I want to say that it's almost like we have untold stories, which makes tribalism in itself an instrument for people to just, you know, do the things that are unimaginable of. And when I say untold stories, Rwanda, for example, the genocide that happened and the clash between two ethnicity, they lived that experience. They have a museum where they tell stories of what, what happened. And I think everybody came to realize, in my just being a bystander, everybody came to realize that this did not work. So how can we make our economy better? How can we live together? Oh. Even if it would be difficult, but because they know their story, they know where they've been from, it's easy for them to like forge a unity and say, you know what, we can make things better. If we take the flip to Nigeria, it's almost as though we have a way of covering our stories. We don't have a really good way of telling those stories. And that's why some ethnics feel like they don't feel seen, they don't feel heard, because people do not even know that something had happened, and that's what has made them come off as maybe too strong or too, you know.
Timid.
Yeah. So there's that part of, there's a need for us to, as Nigerians and even African generally, to own our stories, because that in itself helps with personal transformation. You cannot change something you don't know,
right?
And you can only know something when you go back to your roots. And it's almost the same thing with Christianity. You can't live your life as a Christian if you don't go back to your roots as to who is it that God has made me be. And when you know that, you can then live your daily life in transformation. So I just wanted to say that. So is it possible? It is possible, but it's going to take a while. And it's going to take intentionality
that's the word.
By Nigerians in itself. It's going to take an overhaul of how we, our education in our mindset. I say this because I did politics while I was in uni. And I was, I think I can categorize myself as a minority in the political scene, even in the university. In university politics, if you are not Yoruba, I mean, I went to University of Ibadan, so it's like, you're in a Yoruba land. If you are not Yoruba, or you're not something close to what they can identify with, they don't see you as someone that can lead, you know? So if that can exist even in the university climate, talk more of the wider political scene. So there is a need to, for it to be possible, there's a need to re-educate ourselves. And for us that know better, we need to call out when conversations are happening and the ignorant people are leading those conversations. Right. We need to call them out and say, this is not what it is. This is not how it should be. And we need to re-educate those people in situations that we find ourselves in those kind of conversations. And that's how I think little by little we can get there.
It's interesting because I remember my dad would tell me that, tell us when we were growing up, that the problem with Nigeria's tribalist, you know, nature, it starts with jam. Or filling out
jam form.
Yes, jam and or prescribed form. To say that if you're filling out a form in school, that place that says, you know, even when you get to the university, you're trying to get to the university.
Yeah.
That place that says where you're from, that
state of origin.
State of origin. So you don't put it, just say Nigeria, Nigeria. Why are you putting state of origin? Because what you want to do now is to let people of this, you know, state
know where you're, you know, coming
and
from
then here. Gain admission first. They are the preferred choice. That, and then what happened, you know, I know they didn't know because they were trying to encourage a lot of, you know, Hausa children to go
catchment area,
you know, area. And then that's the, you know, that's like the major thing. However, here's what I think. I think that Nigeria is, see, what you said in terms of going back to the roots, let's take Benin, for example. Benin used to be a very strong kingdom where, you know, and it's still a very strong kingdom, but you know that even Benin were the owners of Lagos at some point. And Lagos, Eko is even a Benin word. And all of those things. But I would also say that in knowing your space, because there are some history that are faulted, They are, because you don't want to leave from that space. Do you understand? Because if you really go back to a place where, for example, talk about the Biafras, it was great what they fought for, but what are you, and you can either support to say you want them to fight, keep on, but it should not be from a place of, I'm going to fight because they killed other people.
Right.
It should be what is needed.
Right.
For us to, do we need a referendum? Do we need, what is needed for us to, why did they do that in the first place, you know? And there and there. And then, of course, I agree with you about calling people out and associate. Here's what I think. I used to say that a lot of, you know, if you want to change something, come and do it yourself. Do you understand? Like, come and actually.
There's something that has been going on in the debate. I would even like you to speak to that. For instance, in America, it's not about state of origin. It's about state of residence.
Yeah.
So if you're born in New Jersey, you're from New Jersey, even if your parents are originally in New York. Right. In fact, you can spend 3 months in a particular local government, in a particular state, and participate in everything and still be integrated into their culture. Yeah. Right. So when we don't see state of residence, take for instance, you worked in Lagos, you live in Lagos, you are not Lagos.
Yeah.
You're Ogun State. But you pay your taxes here. But the day you want to run for rep, they'll tell you go to Ogun State.
Yeah.
And you've not paid taxes in Ogun State. Because somewhere along the line, we don't embrace that progressive ideal that as a world, for us to integrate people in the country, what we're trying to do with NYC can happen naturally. Right? If somebody decides to settle in Kano, can he be a citizen of Kano in a few years? So even if we're not accepting of other tribes,
isn't it law? Right? Funny enough,
how do you know? And then the other part of it is that if you even look at it, even among tribes, right? I remember there was a time in Enugu, in Anambra State, they rejected a bishop that was from Enugu. You understand how Igbo can he get? But in their point again is that you can't go to, they need a bishop that is from Anambra. So if that's why we say let's split, if it's okay, let's split, you will still meet the same tension.
Absolutely.
At different levels. Yeah. Right. Yeah. There are some tribes within a state that can't marry each other.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
There are some neighboring villages that they, we are still trying to get them not to fight each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the point again is the state of the human heart.
Absolutely.
More than anything else.
Right.
So I don't know what your thoughts are.
Well, I mean, you all have said quite a lot. I think that, and to pick from what you've said, I think that one of the things that really ring out to me is conversations, having difficult conversations. And I'm saying this from both from a personal place, and then I would take it to the larger political space. I think that we grew up not learning how to have difficult conversations. I think that our best response to issues was always fight
and shout.
You know, either we fight, either we freeze, either we
fight,
you know,
or abandon it,
you know.
Or so avoidance,
you know. And then our best efforts at conflict resolution was to just cover it up and move along. And you can see that in the Biafra war. Okay, the war ended, but we know the story of what happened in the war. That was the story we had. There were people that were hurting from that. The people from that region are still feeling marginalized, etc. And they've been different, even though their intentions are good, but the way they're going about it is absolutely wrong, you know. And one has to say that. And many times we find that these things continue to come up because they are not addressed, like hidden traumas. They always rear their ugly heads every now and again, you know. And if we say divide, how far can we divide? Because if we divide nationally, the states will still divide, the local governments will still divide.
To divide,
that's it. You know?
So people that are even like intertribal marriage, so when they divide, what will not happen to families?
Well, it depends.
Depends on what?
I think that for us to forge ahead, we have to be able to sit down and have difficult conversations. And difficult conversations is about stating your claim and say, okay, this is why I think this is this, and being able to hear the other person. And that's where this referendum thing that you mentioned comes into play, because the reason why it looks like One Nation is a tough nut to crack, or it's a loose concept. Yeah, it's because the people, you know, are not willing to sit down and have difficult conversations. You know, you need to be able to spell out what peace and progress means to you. You need to be able to spell out what justice and equity means to you. The truth of the matter is that righteousness does not understand religion. Righteousness does not understand ethnicity. It is a human thing. you know, because we are made in the image of God. It's a character of God. So God is righteous. So if somebody that embodies God, regardless of religion or tribe, as a human being, as somebody that was made in the image of God, if a person sits in a place of power,
you disagree?
Not disagree. I'm just reminded of that part in the scriptures where they were trying to build the Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
And
the language confusion. Yeah.
And then even when God gave that covenant to Abraham,
right?
And even Abraham, within his household, there was like lots, you know. So it's almost like it has always been time immemorial, but, you know, internal.
The thing again, if we don't define oneness, when we say one nation, what are we talking about? Any one nation that has no equality will not deliver.
Right.
So there has to be a sense that we must accept equality of people, regardless, quite frankly, regardless of their tribe, regardless of their religion, right? Equality of people regardless of their gender. So it's not because a woman is a woman, so she can't be an MD. Right? You know, we still have those issues. The patriarchy runs deep.
Yeah,
so and some men are just entitled to have your type at home, right? The point is, you might have your type at home, but if she's smart at work, she can do the job.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a lot of education. So healing has to happen at different levels of the conversation. They won't all be tidy, it'll be difficult. At a national level, the referendum is going to be important. Let's even come back to decide what is the constitution and who made it.
Who made it?
I mean, we've carried this constitution since 90. No, we the people. But we just carry this constitution over and over again, and a changing world needs a changing constitution. Right?
Absolutely.
So we're sitting down with a generation now that is fully awakened. And guess what? Every generation today requires a new type of negotiation of what becomes the tenets upon which they want to build the country. And I think they're allowed to contribute. Right. And when you see our voting pattern, it's almost a repressive state of expression that people can just wake up. Where am I pressing? They just press. They're not thinking, because what is there is trauma. They are actually reacting. It's not so much nobody's profiling. Okay, I want this president, but is this senator in the same party qualified?
Yeah.
What about the House of Rep?
Yeah.
You understand? We woke up and Banky lost an election, right?
Yeah.
Yes, he did the work. But Banky campaigned from last year. We also Banky. And what when it was happening, I was like, what's happening here? But who won? Nobody knew his name. Nobody. But they just did that thing. So then starts apologizing. Banky, sorry. You understand? My God. And even some people could not just separate in their own mind, because that's what trauma does to you.
Yeah.
Anger now festers. And rather than have an intelligent voting process, what you have is a reactive voting process.
Right.
And it's even on this positive side that we're pushing.
And the challenge is that some people are not prepared for a rep to get in there. And some days just say, who won? Okada man, he goes school. We don't know. You understand? You're just seeing those things, right? We're all hoping now that people are prepared. But some people are just looking to abort form, and then the wave came. Right, so we need to heal, because every voting from NSAS was also another hush.
Yeah.
Don't talk. They were claiming the civil war. NBC will cut anything that looks like civil war in a movie, and it limits the ability, because storytellers bring healing.
Yeah.
How you express your stories can bring a country to a point where they can experience renewal. Oh. Right, that reason for forgiveness is needed. The pastors, which is what we do, we have a place to be able to reinforce the fact that forgiveness is not something we must hoard, it's something we must give.
Yeah.
And it's not something you can ignore. It requires telling the truth, making an apology where there is a need for one, and embracing people across the table, right? It's very, very important. That renewal has to happen, right? Whether you're a writer, you're making music, I want to commend some musicians. I've not seen Fauci's album, right? But quite frankly, some people have told me that, man, that album was an awakening, because he was confronting some of the social ills. Yes, we can use music as a tool for healing. We can use movies as a tool for healing. Even teachers have a responsibility to communicate healing through their curriculum.
Yeah.
Even in the way we design our curriculum, we can't take history out, because history is asking questions.
Yeah.
How about bringing the answers in a way that can bring healing?
Yeah, you understand? Know.
So they took history out, because at some point it was like, people don't want anybody to be reminded of the past, but the past is part of our experience. At least from our parents leading up until now.
Yeah.
If we don't know history, we repeat history.
Sure.
Absolutely.
But it's hard to tell the history, that has to be very important, like you said. Because we don't have to tell the history now, the thing will now start.
No, the point is that the
iPod
movement, most of them self may not have learned history in school, yet they know the history they are fighting for.
You know, I don't know if you have seen Black November.
No,
they took it out. Don't spend money by Akon. And he told the story of Niger Delta. Beautiful. This movie was ahead of its time. Released sometime in 2016 or so. Showed everything, like, you know, but they took that movie out. it could not be, you know, showed.
Even Half of Yellow Sun. Mm. I read the book, I was looking forward to the film, and I went to see the film and I was like, what did I just watch? Like, and they had somebody now explained to us that they NBC took, took out some parts in a way that it was not struggling to make sense.
Yeah.
And people's investments. So people didn't get the review because they felt that it was insightful. But those things were part of the experience.
So what's the role of the church in all of this?
Healing is part of the church, the calling of the church. We're called to embody healing in our messages, embody it in our
church
living.
Church, we say, even if you call a bishop for many of
them. No, but there are some churches that are... No, the truth is that you can't control some people. We can only live it in our lives and hope that they learn.
Mm.
And our lives will become invitation for them to embrace it even in themselves. Because there are pastors who stood on pulpit and say, don't vote a candidate because he's not from here, he's not from there. Mm. And I think they're actually playing to the fault lines. He's not a Christian. So those are not necessarily the conversation. Right, so there is a sense that even the church too needs to be educated enough on how to negotiate and involve in politics.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes involvement is also still a reflection of their sense of limitation or failure,
right,
and inability to understand fully, right? But I think that this election, in as with all the faults, Nigeria is getting better,
yeah,
right? I think people are now getting more interested, asking more questions, and even with the rigging that the the alleged rigging that
alleged.
Happened, the alleged rigging that happened on the mass scale. Right,
alleged
we see as we saw the violence that happened across
the large scale.
I still feel like there are some people that told me they voted for the first time and they came out, they stood out in the rain, right? Yeah. It may not have delivered what they had hoped for, but that they were part of, they made their voices heard,
yeah,
right? It's a signal,
it's a good feeling.
I think that the incoming president, right? My point again is that who knows, whoever becomes the incoming president, know that over time that there is a need to at least deliver the promise of the people.
Or incoming president, right?
Because you can't continue to play with them for so long.
Yeah.
No, it's incoming president. At the end of the day, you will choose whoever Enek has put on us. That's the truth. Until the court says otherwise.
That's
the truth. moving on. So and that's very sad. So thank you, Pastor Fedi, for that. So we'll just wrap this up right now. And so I just want to hear like final thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, one thing that we want to know is, in the heart of your heart, do you think that it's actually, because I don't like places where we are just obviously we need to have conversation. We'll be having a conversation from now to 50 years time. But is this thing possible? Do you think that we can maybe get to a place where we have at least 60% or 70%, you know, oneness, you know, and these conversations can be had. And what I'm looking for actually is that, like what you've said already, that apart from this, people need to rise up and get into positions.
Absolutely.
Yes. And say this, because one of the things that I like about, you know, a particular political, you know, aspirant is that he's saying something, do you understand? And people are, it's just by that move, people are, and a lot of people need to
galvanizing
do that.
Around
yes, people need to do that. People need to come. A lot of Christians, the role of the church for me is that a lot of Christians need to be more transformed and bold to come out. And if you don't believe in something, don't stand behind, you know, something. I just think like
it's no, I don't so think it's. I think that I don't. For me, I don't think it's about because there's also this narrative about, oh, Christians need to come out, and it's tending towards Christians need to be more involved in politics. No, I think Christians need to take their Christianity to affect every facet of life. For instance, there needs to be a Christian man in INEC. So that's the long hold us on our high neck.
Politics. It's still
no. There needs to be a Christian, you know, manning logistics, manning tech, manning in all this in every area. Not
that's
just
what I'm saying. Building needs to
just
be
behind politics.
Doesn't even mean I'm not talking about presidency or governorship. Like you said, INEC. Like you said, Minister of Education.
Your concluding thoughts don't start conversation. Like
just,
no, it's okay.
You understand? I'm everywhere. Do you understand? If you have a pupil, speak. If you are in very single negotiations, talk. If you have an audience, you know what I'm saying?
$50,000.
So the idea is let your light so shine before men.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. I don't just mean politics alone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but this was a really good conversation. I think for me, my last, you know,
thoughts
or contribution to this would still be around knowing your roots. And calling out, you know, when I permit me to use the word, the seemingly ignorant people that don't know better, calling them out and educating them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also maybe I probably would say this because, you know, the elections as well, also I heard that people were trying to tear the international passport, sorry, the Nigerian passports and all of that stuff. I think for me, it's staying true to where you have or who you are as a country, right? So you see that the Americans, they are bold to say I'm American. That's a conversation for another day. It's just like, as Nigerian, be bold to say you are Nigerian.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to, when you travel, be bold to say you are Nigerian. Let that identity that embodies oneness, you know, be in that
outlook. So my final thoughts is that healing is not an event, it's a journey. And our moment by moment interaction with each other as a people is an opportunity for healing to be expressed. So as we meet people, what do we leave with them? How can we embody compassion and empathy in how we talk to people, how we do business? How do we become carriers and agents of healing and not agents of hurt?
Yeah.
Because the greatest healing comes through relationship. And I think it's for us to be able to locate that healing possibilities within ourselves and to become part of that tool through which healing can be expressed. Therein lies the greatest power of God flowing through us into the world.
That's amazing.
Thank you guys so much. This was such a conversation. Amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Abuja International.
What?
I don't think you're from this part of Lagos.
All right.
We love you. Thank you for coming.
I love you guys too.
Thank you, Kimba. Thank you. And thank you, Pastor Freddy.
It's a pleasure.
All right, guys. See you guys next episode.
All right. Cheers, guys.
Bye.
Bye.